The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Today, the scripture reading that we're going to look at is that of Palm Sunday. It's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Today we're going to look at it from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 44. It says, "After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he'd told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of the Lord's coming to you." Many of you know my daughter Emma. In September last year, she went to the US to join an organization called Circuit Riders. And in January through to early March this year, she was touring Europe with them on a worship and evangelism tour. They went to 8 different nations across Europe. And at the end of that, she flew back to the States, ready to start the tour there, when, like so many, coronavirus changed all her plans. And so very rapidly, she had to come home. Those of you who do know Emma know that she loves to be around people. So 2 weeks living by herself in quarantine was not fun. Absolutely necessary, but not fun. Well, she's out now, and she's healthy, for which she's very thankful. She's thankful that she's healthy. She's even more thankful that she's out. When my dad was talking to her early on in the 14 days of isolation, he gave her some good advice. It was advice he'd been given when my mum had passed away and he started to live alone. And that was, if you're living alone, make a conscious effort to speak out loud. Why? Well, you see, unless someone comes to visit you, which isn't very easy at the moment, or someone calls you, you can go a whole day and not actually say a word. Well, who might listen anyway, you might ask? Well, the answer is you. In fact, it can be reassuring to hear your own voice. And no, talking to yourself is not the first sign of madness. For my dad, he reads the Bible out loud. And then he prays out loud each morning as a way of speaking out loud. My daughter Emma solved this problem a different way. She spent time on FaceTime, up to 7 hours a day. What about when others speak? Do we listen? Well, it all depends on who's speaking, right? There is a thing called selective listening. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes. What about when Jesus speaks? In the passage we're looking at today, Jesus speaks to two of his disciples, and this is what he says. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say the Lord needs it. Just look at what Jesus says. He told them exactly where to go. Go to the village ahead of you. They knew exactly the instructions they were being given. He told them when and where, as you enter it. So exactly at the point that they entered it, they knew that they would find what they were looking for. He told them exactly what was needed. You will find a colt. He told them not only that they would find it, but the exact state it would be found in. It would be tied up. Not only that, he told them what to do with it. Untie it and bring it here. And not only that, he told them what to say. That if someone says to them, why are you untying it? He would say to them, the Lord needs it. Could instructions have been any clearer? Where to go, what to look for, what to do when you get there, what to say? And the next verse says that those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. You see, Jesus gave very specific instructions to two of his disciples. He had 12 disciples. So for the other 10, they had different things to do. But for these two, this was what they were meant to do. And so they went. When we hear Jesus clearly, he will tell us what we need to know. He will tell us what we need to do. And it may actually be very different to what he tells other people to do. Those were his instructions just for the two, not for the other 10. What is it that Jesus is asking just you to do? This is a time where we really need to listen to God. This is a time of uncertainty for many. This is a time of change. It's a time when everyone's lives are being changed in really significant ways. And how you feel and how you respond to that can depend on your personality. Some introverts are loving being in isolation. But at the same time, they're often struggling with the rapid pace of change. Extroverts, on the other hand, are struggling big time with isolation. Particularly those who are the touchy-feely type people, also known as huggers. For them, they are finding that their love language, which is physical touch, means that they can't give love, nor can they feel love. For some, it's a time of massive workloads. For others, it is idleness. In the midst of all this, we really need to hear God. And for some of you, you will find that easy, because you've learned how to hear God's voice. Others might find this difficult because you haven't yet learned how to hear God. And yet you know you'd love to. You know you'd love to hear Jesus' voice so clearly that you could do exactly what he asks you to do and when and how he wants you to do it, just like those two disciples who were sent to go and get the donkey. I encourage you, during this time, and especially if you're finding you have time on your hands, don't fill it with Netflix and gaming and YouTube and social media and books. And I think our PM also said jigsaws. Books and jigsaws do not involve the internet. Yes, such things do exist that don't involve the internet. There's nothing wrong with doing any of those things. But my comment is, don't fill all your time with those things. Because you see, for some, there's been a vacuum that's been created in terms of time. And if wherever a vacuum is created, you will fill it. Be careful what you fill it with. So my encouragement to you in these coming weeks and months is to fill some of that time by sitting with God and listening. That might mean saying something like, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Or, God, I'm here. I'd love to hear what you've got to say. So, as we heard from Psalm 46, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Quiet yourself. Quieten yourself. and listen. And then wait and see what thoughts or pictures come into your mind. See if there's a picture that you suddenly see. And then consider, has this come from God? Some simple checks. Ask yourself, does what I think I've just heard or what I think I've just seen, does it align with Scripture? Is it encouraging? Is it helpful? Is it compassionate? Is it generous? Is it loving? Is it thoughtful of others? In other words, is it biblical? If so, it's more likely to have come from God. If it doesn't align with these things, then it's not from God. So, for example, if you have an idea of something that you think you should pray about, I encourage you, pray about it. Pray for that situation. Pray for our nation. Pray for a person. Or if you think you've seen a picture of someone or heard someone's name, then call them. See how they are. See if they have any needs. Because you see, if you did hear their name from God and they were really needing a call, then you've been an answer to their needs. You've been an answer to what God is asking you to do. And that's a great encouragement to you and to them. On the other hand, if you think you heard their name and you're not sure, what's the worst that can happen? You called someone and asked them how they are, which is not a bad thing to do. So I encourage you in this season, use it as an opportunity to seek to learn to hear God's voice. So let's come back to this passage. Let's think about the owners of the donkey. Imagine one of their children suddenly coming and going, "Hey, Dad, two men are untying the donkey." So you rush out to confront them. "Hey, what are you doing untying my donkey?" And they respond, "The Lord needs it." What would you say? If you know and love Jesus and he came and asked you for your donkey. Okay, so maybe you don't own a donkey. Most of us don't. But what might he ask you for? Your time? Your resources? Your expertise? Your ability to listen or to care? How would you respond? Would you give it to him? Many of you are enjoying live streaming our services, but there's been a small group of people for whom it just wouldn't work. And we tried various fixes and nothing seemed to work for them. But one of our people, Ian Binney, used his time and expertise to problem solve. And he discovered which version of Windows and which software was preventing it from working. So he let Bill know, and Bill in turn contacted our streaming provider, who discovered that there was a fault in their system, and they fixed it. Ian's time, his expertise, and his generosity to help others was his donkey. In other words, he used what he had so that people who couldn't watch the last 2 weeks are watching this morning. And so a special good morning to you. What's your donkey? What is it that if Jesus came and said, "I need this," that you could give? If the Lord is needing your time, your gifts, your abilities, your experiences, your resources, would you give them willingly? You see, right now is a time when the resources we have are really important, sometimes for our own well-being, but often for the well-being of others. And you never know how we might use them. If you think back to the owners of the donkey, I wonder if they ever realized that their willingness to let the Lord use their donkey would become part of a Bible story of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem as king. Because that's what happened. People came, and with that very donkey, they put cloaks on the donkey. They then put their cloaks on the ground in front of that donkey, and they started to celebrate. Luke says that they began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they'd seen. And this is what they said. They said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The first part of this, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," comes from Psalm 118, verse 26. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But the people who were celebrating were aware that it wasn't just a he, it was the king. They were declaring that Jesus was the king because he was coming in riding a donkey that no one had ever ridden before. The crowd was there and they were waving palm branches. They were throwing their cloaks on the ground. These were all signs and actions of people welcoming an incoming king. And they were praising God for that king that was coming into them. And then look at the second line. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Does that sound sort of familiar? Well, one of the reasons it might sound a little familiar is that Luke in chapter 2 writes something similar when he says this is when Jesus had just been born and the angels are in the sky and they are singing and they are praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. I find this really fascinating because as I've kept reflecting on this, I've seen that when Jesus was born, angels from heaven sang peace on earth. As Jesus was about to die, people on earth sang peace in heaven. Isn't that fascinating? What's that all about? As I've been reflecting on this, I think that when Jesus was born, his arrival is the start of a new era. It's a time when God's plan for peace was being put into action. The Messiah had arrived. And yet during his time of ministry, only a small number of people had accepted the peace that he offered. His peace that was available to those who would accept him, put their faith in him. And now, as he approaches Jerusalem, he is about to fight a battle in the heavenlies. As the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan come together in conflict. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness clash. This is a spiritual battle. That when Jesus would win that battle, would bring peace in the heavens. Jesus would deliver peace and make it available on earth. That's why we pray as we did a little earlier in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus was the one who brought peace in the heavenlies. He is the one who brought glory in the highest. Jesus is the one who would prevail. He would make his peace available to all who will place their faith in him, who will accept him as their Lord and Saviour. And this is what the people were declaring as they made their way up towards Jerusalem, singing and shouting and waving palm branches. And what they are declaring comes from Scripture. It comes from Psalm 118. But then the second part comes from Revelation. It's what the angels sing. So as we go back to what we talked about earlier, that when we seek to listen and to see what it is that God might be showing us, be aware that he can and he will speak through his word, but he can and will also speak through Revelation. So read and listen to both to confirm what it is that the Lord is saying to you. And so this triumphal procession continues. And as they top the Mount of Olives, the view of Jerusalem just opens up before them. It reminds me of our family. When we go on a beach holiday, we often go to Caloundra. And it's about a 3-hour trip from Toowoomba to Caloundra. Caloundra is where you want to go for holidays if you want to meet people from Toowoomba. Because it seems that half of Toowoomba has holidays at Caloundra. Anyone else relate to that? Yeah. I love it as you're coming into Caloundra. There's this hill. It's called Little Mountain. And as you come over Little Mountain, suddenly you get your first view of the ocean. And you see the sea. As children, as we would be coming into Caloundra 3 hours in the car with, are we there yet? Questions, very monotonously. And children sitting in back seats going, that's my space. He touched me, Mum. After 3 hours of that, parents are longing to get to that place where they will see the ocean, where they can suddenly change the topic of conversation to one of excitement and celebration. Hey, I saw it first. Sorry, that's competition. In that same way, as there's that change in mood, as we would top the Little Mountain and see the waters from Caloundra, When the procession topped the Mount of Olives, suddenly the mood changed. The view of Jerusalem was opened up as a vista in front of them. But the celebration changed to weeping. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace." And then a bit further on, "Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jesus wept over the city because it had not recognized who or what would bring peace. Who? Jesus. That as king, he came to bring peace. The presence of the king brings peace. The what? The what was the welcoming of the king. A king can come into a city, but it's no good a king coming into the city unless the people recognize him as king, welcome him, accept him as their king. In countless cities around the world at the moment, whether it's New York or London, whether it's Venice or Mumbai or Toowoomba, they need to recognize Jesus as their king. And you can play your part in this. Ask yourself, what is it that Jesus is saying to you? Be quiet, be still, and listen. And ask, is there something that he is asking me to do in my city to help people welcome Jesus as king? How can I help those who have not accepted Jesus as their king? Ask yourself, what's my donkey? In other words, what are the resources that you have to offer others to help them see Jesus? And most probably that will come through what you say and do. I encourage you, pray for our city. Maybe even weep for our city as you pray. But be willing to untie your donkey. Be willing to give what you have so that Jesus is seen as coming into our city. And so as we prepare for Easter, in this time of uncertainty, in this time of change, let's bring Jesus into the city with great celebration and joy. And you are part of playing that. Play your part in the celebration of Jesus. And so, as we do, let us take time now to be quiet and ask ourselves this question. What did God say to me today? As we've heard this passage from Luke, what is God saying to me? And then ask yourself that second question. If Jesus is speaking to you and asks you, will you untie your donkey? Will you give of resources? Will you give of yourself? Will you give of your time? What will I do with what I have heard? Let us take a moment and reflect on that. Thank you, Father God. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you, Father God, that you want us to hear you. And so, Lord, we pray that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that you are saying and showing us. We pray, Father God, that as we celebrate the King coming into our city, that we would play our part, that we would be willing to give of what it is you've given us. That we would give of our time, our abilities, our resources. Lord, that we in turn would be part of blessing others in this city, that they too would see the King. They too would see Jesus in our city, that they too might experience the peace, Lord, that you want to make available to all men and women, to every person. Father God, we pray for your peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.